Holding in Yerushalmi Brachos, page Vav, Ois Yud Aleph. The Mishnah had talked about Ein Omer Mispalel Al Matuf Kovid Rosh, so that led into a whole discussion about the frame of mind that a person should be in before he davens, and then that leads the Gemara to continue getting into the topic of where a person should daven. So the Gemara says, Amar Pinchas b'shem Rav Hoshea, ha'mispalel b'beis haknesses, a person who davens in shul, ke'ilu makriv mincha tahoda. It's as if he's bringing a pure mincha to Hashem. My timer, where do we get this from? My timer by the Matam actually is the Yerushalmi equivalent of Menolon that you'd have in the Bible. It means what, not what is the reason, but where is the Pasuk that we know this from? Because the Pasuk says, Kasha Yerviu, Bnei Yisrael, Sam Mincha, Bechli Tahor, Beis Hashem, as the Pasuk says, like the Jewish people bring a Mincha in a pure Keli to the house of Hashem. So the same way when we come to the house of Hashem, to the Mikdash Ma'at, which is the Shul, and we daven over there, then it's considered like bringing a Mincha. Hakosev points out that you have a mincha is a very small korban compared to a full-size animal that a person might bring. And you see that a mincha is usually a poor person's korban. So therefore, the idea is the ultimate thing would be to daven in the mikdash. That would be like a large animal korban. We don't have that. So therefore, all we have is the mikdash ma'at, the ability to daven in the shul, which is only a pale shadow of the mikdash. So therefore, it's more like bringing a mincha, but Hashem appreciates it. That Hashem appreciates it as much as when a poor person brings a mincha. The pasuk says mincha. I mean, the context of the pasuk. Fine, beis Hashem. That's the point. Beis Hashem also means the shul. That's Eitz Yosef points out that the same way as the way the Jewish people bring the mincha, so it is in beis Hashem. So it is with shahu beis haknesses. In other words, that davening and shul. So it's an asmachta, of course. He points out from Yefei Mare, but. Yeah, but that's the point. In other words, we're using the word Beis Hashem not to mean the Beis Mikdash, but to mean a shul. The point is, in other words, what's the point of Bechli Tahor is that a shul is a Kli Tahor, it's a keli for a proper davening in a way that you wouldn't have if you daven elsewhere. Rav Abahu b'shem Rav Abahu. Rav Abahu says in the name of Rav Abahu, b'pashtus, there are two different Rav Abahus, a different pasuk that we see that. Dushu Hashem b'imotze. The pasuk says, seek Hashem where he's found. Eichan hu matzui, where Eichan is like Heichan in the Bavli, where is he found? Beves HaKnesses and Beves HaMedrash in the Shulan and the Beves HaMedrash. So you have the usual explanation that we're familiar with. Dirshu Hashem b'imotzei means in time. That when is the time when Hashem is most b'imotzei? During Aseres Mitzvah. But here the Yerushalmi instead is taking it not so much on time, but on place. Not Shona, but rather in Olam. That the b'imotzei is in Shulan and Beves HaMedrash. So both apparently, yeah. The Bavli also we learned in Brachas a few months back near the beginning of Brachas. The Gemara mentioned in Yaakov over there. The Gemara talked about the importance of davening where you learn, and we mentioned over there, for example, Rav Ami and Rav Asi would daven in their Beis Medrash. So yeah. I'm with Rav Yitzchak Bey Rav Lozer. Rav Yitzchak Bey is like Ben Rav Lozer. Did I? Kro'uhu b'yosei karev, thank you. Kro'uhu b'yosei karev, and when the pasuk continues, call him when he is close, heichan hu karev, so where is he close, is also a basic nesses of a basic mensh. So Eitz Yosef explains, in other words, first we're talking about where is the special place where you'll find Hashem's shechina more, I mean, Meloi Kol Aretz Kvodei, but the special place is in Shul, and then not only that, But not only is Hashem found there, but also Hashem answers more quickly when the person davens in one of those holy places rather than when he davens at home. Amr Rav Yitzchak Bey Rav Elazar. Bey means like Ben, like Ben or Bar or whatever. So Rav Yitzchak, the son of Rav Elazar, says, "Beloy oy." Not only that, El Shele Kehem Omed Al Gabam. Not only that, Hashem stands over the people who are davening over there. My time, or where's the pasuk we see that from? Pasuk says, like Kim Nitzah Badas Kale, Hashem stands in the gathering of Kale of Hashem. Bekerav Alekim Yishboit, he judges among the judges. So we see that when Adas Kale, when they're gathered to daven to Hashem, and Bekerav Alekim Yishboit, which is where they're learning Torah and learning Mishpat, then Hashem is found in all those places. Like we have in Pirkei Avos, that Minayin after the Shnayim, Minayin after the Shlosha, etc. Rav Chista Omar. Rav Chista says, here's another point in this. It's not just enough to go to shul. Zesh and Nichnas, the Beis HaKnesses, Tzorchli Konis Lefnim Mishnei Dlosses. When you go into shul, you have to go inside of two doors. Now, when we learned this in the Bavli as well, it was in Brachas and Daf Ches, and there were a few different explanations that it went. Does it mean Does it mean that physically a person should go through two sets of doors? In other words, that he shouldn't just be standing in the foyer of the shul, he should go into the actual shul? Or does it mean that before he starts davening, he should wait the amount of time that it would take to walk through two doorways, which is defined in halacha as 8 amos? In other words, don't just start davening the moment you go into shul. Take a couple of seconds to compose yourself and get in the frame of mind for that. Both of them are brought in Shulchan Aruch. Matam, what Pasuk tells us that. Pasuk says, Ashrei Adam Shemeyavi, happy is the person who listens to me, Lishko Dal Dalsoisa Yoim Yoim, to be diligent to my doors day after day. So Dalsoisai, but like Dlosai. The word Dlosai might imply only one door. Dalsoisai implies a plurality of doors. So the distance that it takes to walk two doors or actually through two doorways. And the pasuk continues, Lishma mezuzois psachai, the same thing, mezuzois v'lo mezuzas. The word mezuzois is also in the plural, implying that he should be passing through, or the amount of time that it takes to go through many doorposts. Im osakein, and if a person does that, maxiv tamon, what does it say over there? The following pasuk continues, ki motzi motzachayim, the one who finds me finds life. So the person will find the shechina over there, because the shechina is the source of life for the world. So therefore, yes, then he'll find that the Shechina is there. Another thing, Rav Huna Amar, Zeshu Holech Beis HaKnesses, when a person is going to shul, Tzorech Lahokel Asraglav, he has to lift up his feet easily. In other words, he has to be Kal Baraglav and run to shul. Matam, what Pasuk tells us that? The Pasuk says, Neda Nir to follow Das Hashem. We should know and we should chase to find Hashem. A chaser, a roidith, runs. So therefore, it means to run. When a person is leaving a shul, he should be walking slowly. Well, matam, what pasuk tells us that? You have a pasuk in Iyov, ki ata tsa'odai tisper. He says about Hashem, now you count my steps. In other words, that Hashem counts even the steps and the kind of steps that a person is taking. And when he's leaving shul, then it shows like shul is a burden to him, and Hashem doesn't appreciate that. Again, we have this in the Bavli as well. There is actually a Medrash that says, famously, we know that Achitofel taught David HaMelech two things, and then for that, David called him Rabbi Abba from Yodai. One of them was this, that you should be running to shul. And even on Shabbos, it says, even though normally you're not supposed to run on Shabbos. Further on, the Mishnah talks about the thing that even if nochosh karo halakevo, even the snake wound around a person's heel, he shouldn't interrupt Shemana Esrei and talk. To tell people to remove it or whatever. So the Yerushalmi, like the Bavli, goes into details about that. When can you stop and when can you not? And then it brings a story involved, which is also in the Bavli over here, involving a snake and davening. Amrin Oliver Rab Chanina Mendoza, Shoy Omer Mespalel, that he was standing and davening. The story in the Bavli begins that people told him there was this dangerous snake that lives in the area and is killing people, so can you please do something about it? So he goes over to the snake's hole, and now the Yerushalmi here picks up the story that he stands over there and davens, Ovo Chabarba V'Hikishoy, the Chabarba, which is this dangerous snake. The Bavli calls it an Aroid or Arvad, whatever, also a name for some kind of dangerous snake, like a viper or something, came, V'Hikishoy, and bit him, but Rav Chanina did not interrupt his death. They went and found that snake was dead and lying on top of his den, on top of his hole in the ground. Omru, so they said, woe to a person who's bitten by such a snake, and woe to the snake that bites Rav Chanina Mendoza, because his chosim will overpower the snake, as happened over here. So the Gemara asks, "So ma iske dahadein chababara? What's the deal? How does it work with this chababara? How does it work when the snake bites a person? What's so dangerous about it?" So kad have a nochis for bar nosha. If the snake bites a person in bar nosha kodim mamaya, if the person gets to a source of water first, chababara mayis, then the snake will die. The in chababara kodim mamaya, but if the snake gets to water first, bar nosha mayis, then the person will die. Then the person will die. So in this case, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, the Hashem created a spring of water right there under the Chanina's feet, so that the moment the snake bites him, he is there by water, and he's snake, and he's safe, and the snake dies. So this Talmidim asked him, Rebbe, didn't you feel the snake biting you? So he tells them, Yavayalai, may there come upon me, which like we learned before, is a common lashon of shvur that you find throughout the Yerushalmi. If meaning it's certain that because I was concentrating so much on davening, that I didn't even feel anything. So he was standing there davening. As the Bavli tells the story, they had asked him to go over there to do something about the snake. He went over there davening, and apparently from the Gemara over here, it sounds like he didn't even realize that he's standing right on top of the snake's hole. So it came out and bit him. He's concentrating on his davening so much that he didn't even feel that he was bitten. But then Hashem saved him b'derech nes. So Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Elazar, Barak, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mayim Tachas Kapos Ragav. Hashem created a spring right there under his feet. This fulfills what the pasuk says. Hashem does the will of those who fear him. And he hears their cry. And he saves them. In other words, the point is that we're saying not just that Hashem saves them at some future time, right there on the spot. Hashem saves them from any danger that they might be in, which they don't even know that they're in danger. Like here, Rav Chanina Mendoza, he didn't even know, but Ritzon Yirei Av Yaseh, and Hashem right away, B'yashiyem, and saves them right on the spot. Further on, the next mission over there talks about where you say Masha Baruch Moda Geshem in davening. You say it in the bracha of Mechaya Mesim. So the comparison is Keshem Shetchias Mesim Chayim La'olam, just like Tchias Mesim brings life to the world. Kach Yuridus Kshamim Chayim La'olam. So rainfall also brings life to the world. And that's why the Chachamim were Kaveya that should be in that bracha. Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba learns this connection from the following pasuk. Yechayenu miyemayim. The pasuk says Hashem will help us live through the 2 days. It means the two periods of Golos. It means many different things. Bayeim Ashlishi Yikemenu v'nichi lefanav, on the third day, which means the Golah Amidus Ashleima, and it has various other meanings as well. He will raise us up, the nichi lefanav, and we will live in his presence. So which is referring to Tchias HaMesim. And the next pasuk continues, V'neza Mutal Adas Hashem. We will run and we'll know and we'll run to know Hashem, which we just said is the source for running to Shul. Keshacha Nochon Motzoi, that his coming out is as certain as the dawn, as certain as when you see the dawn breaking, you know that the sun is going to be coming out soon. So it's certain that Hashem's Shechina is going to appear to us. And the pasuk finishes off, V'yoveh Hageshem Lanu. The pasuk continues, V'yoveh Hageshem Lanu, and he'll come to us like rain. So we see that the pasuk is making a connection between Tchias HaMesim, Yikimenu V'nichya Lefanav, and rain. And therefore, that's why Rav Chiya Ba'aba says, there you see that connection. It's not just that both of them bring life. We actually see that the pasuk puts them one after the other, and therefore it's appropriate to be asking for rain in the bracha of Tchias HaMesim. So the Gemara discusses further. Now, in the Bavli, there's a similar discussion in Masechta Tainis. We know that when it comes to davening for rain, we don't have to daven. Technically, we don't have to daven for dew at all. Our nusach is we say merid atol, but technically you're not actually required to say it up yalocha, and in nusach Ashkenaz they don't. They just say mashe baruch merid geshem during the winter and nothing at that point during the summer. Even during the winter, okay, we say the same talamotah levracha, but technically it's not necessary. Technically you could be yotze if you just say motor. And then the Bavli discusses, and here the Yerushalmi is in Tainus, and here the Yerushalmi is discussing over here the question of whether we have to daven for dew at all. Does dew always come such that there's no reason to have to daven? So Ksiv, you have a pasuk by Yomer the Yohu Atishbi Mitoshova Gilad, or the Yohu Atishbi, who was from among the residents of Gilad. One point about that is there's different opinions what Shevet or the Yohu Navi is from. One opinion is from Shevet God, and they lived in Eretz HaGilad, and therefore that's what the pasuk is stressing. I'm mentioning this point. Another opinion was from Shevet Binyamin, and we know what happened with Shevet Binyamin by Pelegish Begiva, where they were almost wiped out, and some of them actually left the country. There's a note appended in Rashi and Shoftim that says that some of them left and then Bechlal moved away to Europe. So then Mitoshavei Gilad would mean that he actually was one of the people who stayed in their original location in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, So he says, El Achav, Chai Hashem, as Hashem lives, I swear, Im Yiyah Shonim Ha'elav Talon Mater, if there will be, meaning there will not be, during these coming years, dew or rain, Kim Lafi Dvari, only according to my word. Yeah, the Bavli and Sanhedrin at the end tells the whole story that Achav was worshipping Avodah Zarah, and Chiel Beis Ha'eli had rebuilt Yericho, and his children died because of Yeshua's curse, and Achav is saying, no, Yeshua's curse is stronger than Moshe's, because in Shema we say, V'atzer Atzer Shemayim V'lo Yemotar, and then nothing's happening. So Eliyahu got angry and then made the shura. Now, Reb Brechi Omar, so Reb Brechi says, Reb Yasa V'Rabbanan, that Reb Yasa and the Chachamim disagree what Hashem listened to, what Hashem accepted, what Eliyahu said, and stopped some kind of precipitation from coming. But which one? Chad Omar, between Reb Yasa and the Chachamim, one says, Bein Alatar, one says that Hashem listened to him on both of them, the dew and the rain and the dew, that during those next few years there was no dew either. The Charona Omar, and the other one says, Hashem listened to him about the rain, but he didn't listen to him about the dew. Dew still kept on falling during those years. Manda Omar Alamotar Nishmalai Valatalo Nishmalai. So the opinion that says that Hashem listened only as far as stopping the rain, but not the dew. Min Hoda, he gets it from the following pasuk at the end. Afterwards, Hashem tells him, Lechei roi alachav, go appear to Achav. Be'etna mater, the Gemara, and Hashem says, I'll give rain. Why is Hashem not saying I'll give dew? Because the whole time Hashem had been giving dew, he never stopped. Omanda Omar, bein alatalo, bein alamater, nishmaloi. On the other hand, the one who says that Hashem listened to him about both the rain and the dew, you have to ask, Eichan Hoter Nidre Shaltal. After all, Eliyahu swore that there's not going to be rain or dew. So where do we ever find that? Hashem overrode and Hashem was matter that neder, that matter that shvur about the dew. So it must be necessarily that Hashem had in fact stopped the dew all this time, and because otherwise that part of Eliyahu's shvur, in other words, would have been false. It wouldn't have come true. On the other hand, Rav Tanchuma Edroi, which may mean that he came from the city Edrei, like Melech HaBashan's capital or whatever. Anyway, so he says, Sabrin Meimar. No, that's not a proof, because we can very well think to answer Neder Shehuta Mikolei Huta Kolei. When part of a Neder is Mutter, then the whole thing is Mutter, which is a concept in Halacha. So therefore, once Hashem is matter, part of Eliyahu's neder about the rain, automatically the part about the dew is canceled as well, and Hashem doesn't have to say so explicitly. So you could say, in fact, maybe that the dew had stopped all those years, and now Hashem is mentioning only matter, but then automatically it includes the dew as well. Now, one opinion is that when did Hashem start bringing back the dew was with the story of the son of the Ishat Sarfasis. So in between, you have over there, you have at the beginning of Melachim Aleph, the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin, is you have that pasuk that we quoted, that Eliyahu says there won't be any rain or dew these next few years. Afterwards, you have the whole thing, he goes and hides in Nachal Kris, and then the ravens are bringing him food, and then Hashem tells him, go to Tsarfas, and you'll find an almana over there, and she'll give you food. Akitzer, so Eliyahu stays by this almana, then her son becomes very sick. Chazal tell us that son later on grew up to be the Navi Yonah. And she says to Eliyahu, what'd you do over here? Until now, I was the local tzaddikus. Now I look very bad in comparison to you. So now Hashem is evidently thinking of my averus and punishing me. Akitzer, so Eliyahu goes and does tchias amesim on the boy. So the pasuk says, "Vayikra Hashem vayomer Hashem alekai v'gomer." He called out to Hashem and he says, "Hashem, how could it be that this woman who's being such a machnas orach for me? How could it be that you're killing her son?" So what happened over here? Omer of Yudam Pazi, leaving out the word moshul. In the Yerushalmi, a lot of times when they're presenting a moshul, they leave out the actual, in the Bavli, or in the Midrashim, you would usually have moshul or whatever. In the Yerushalmi, a lot of times they leave out the word moshul. Anyway, l'echot shegonav nautiko shoroifei. You can give a moshul for it, a person who stole a doctor's medical kit. And as he's leaving with the kit, Niftzabnoi, his son is injured. Chazer etzloi v'amaloi, so he comes back into the house and he says, Adonia Roife, Mr. Doctor, Sir Doctor, Rapeas Bni, please heal my son. Omalais, the doctor tells him, Leich v'hachzeres anautik, give me back my kit first. Shekomin refuis nesunin, by all the medicines and everything are in, all the medicines, all the stitches, all the everything are in there. V'ani merapes bincha, and then I can heal your son. Kach omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Eliyahu. So the same way Hashem tells Eliyahu, Leich v'hachzer nidrei sholtach. You have to go first and mimatu your neder that you swore there won't be any dew. She'en ha'mesim chayim, ala b'tlolin. Because that's how are the dead going to be revived, at chesem mesim, with dew. And then Vani Machaya, Benoshal Tzorkis, and then I'll bring this son of the Ishat Tzorfasis back alive. So therefore, according to that, then, so now the question was before, if Eliyahu had sworn that there's not going to be dew or rain, if we assume that there that taka the dew stopped as well, then why is Hashem only mentioning later on mutter, Vatna Mutter up me Abama? The answer is because shortly before that, Hashem had already brought back the dew because he forced Eliyahu's hand into doing that if he wants to do Tchesa Mason. The Bavli expresses it, and the story in the Sanhedrin expresses it in a different way. The expression is over there, there are three maftechas, there are three keys that Hashem reserves for himself and never gives them over to a shliach. Childbirth, tchias emesim, and rain. So Eliyahu, in effect, had the key for rain at this point. Now he's asking Hashem for the second key. Hashem tells him you have to give back the first key. You have to give back the key for rain first. Otherwise, what is this? You're going to have two keys for tchias emesim and for rain. And I'm going to have only one. It doesn't work that way. So the Gemara continues, resuming, Nayin she'en ha'mesim chayin ela b'tlolin. How do we know that tchias ha'mesim is going to happen only with dew? Dichtiv. The pasuk says, Yichu me'secha, your dead will come alive. Nivelosi yikurun, my dead bodies will rise up. Hokitzu v'rananu sheikhne'ofer, wake up and sing, you who are dwelling in the dust. Ki tal ures talecha, because your dew is a dew of lights. The oretz refoyim tapil, and the land will throw down the refoyim. So therefore, the pasuk is talking about tchias ha'mesim, and it's using the word tal oretz talecha. So we understand that it means that tchias ha'mesim takes place through dew. So what is that? What do those last words mean? The oretz refoyim tapil. Omer Rab Tanchum Edraya. So the same Rab Tanchum Edraya that we said before says. Yeah, Rav Tanchuma Adroi, we had before here. It's Rav Tanchuma Adroi, same thing. Yeah, he says the meaning of it is va'ara tafkedeho taflit. It means the land will throw forth those who are depositing it. So in other words, the refoyim refers to the dead. Va'aretz, the land, tapil, it'll make them fall. In other words, like they'll fall out of it. They'll fall out of it and come alive at Chesa Mason. Now, continuing, going back then to this topic of did the dew stop when Eliyahu said it should? So Rabbi Yaakov de Kvachanin, B'Shem Resh Lakish, he says that Hashem said that no, I'm not going to take away the dew because B'Shah Sha'osa Avraham Zekoncha Ritzoni, when your ancestor Avraham did what I wanted, Mishbaiti Loi She'eni Zoz Tal Mi Bonav La'olam. I swore to him that I will never remove dew from his descendants, and therefore, no, even though you're saying, I'm swearing that there won't be dew, I can't listen to you and I can't fulfill that. My time, or what Pasuk teaches us that, the Pasuk says, in Kapitel Kuf Yud of Tilim, is talking about Avraham Avinu, Nuum Hashem La'adoni Shevim, he actually mentions on the Pasuk, there's Gemaris and Midrashim that talk about that Kapitel was referring to what happened with Avraham, particularly in the war with the four kings. Anyway, the pasuk says l'cha tal yal b'secha. The pasuk says yours is the dew of your youth. So it means that the dew will always be for your children, even if they're acting. Kosa points out that the word yal b'secha means even if they're acting in a way they're completely sunk into olam hazeh and they're acting in a very childish way. To borrow an expression from Kehelas that youth is a waste of time. So even if the Jewish people are acting that way, nevertheless, l'chot tal yal b'secha, even then you'll still have dew. Ochtiv basri nishba Hashem v'lo yinochem. And then the pasuk continues afterwards, Hashem swore and he won't regret it. So therefore, Hashem is saying that's an irrevocable promise of mine, and therefore I'm not taking away the dew. The in yal b'secha, l'olam shall have. Here we have the child. Your childishness refers to the world of nonsense, the world of hevel. As the pasuk says, youth and the time when a person has black hair is hevel, is nonsense, because the person doesn't know what to do with it properly. But afal pekin, the chotal yal b'secha, nevertheless, you're still going to have the dew of your youth. Hakosev has an explanation over here that basically there are two ways we know that Hashem runs the world, and there are two kinds of nisim that Hashem does. You have the kind that Hashem does a something where it's a well-known nest, where everybody realizes that it's a nest, and that can be compared to rain, which when you see rain falling, everybody sees it. On the other hand, then you have nisim that are more concealed within within nature, which is more like dew, because you see the dew over there. Where did it come from? You don't chaps it. So what happened during Eliyahu's times? The two opinions over here, whether the dew stopped. The question is, what Hashem's hashgacha pratis is over the world is being interrupted, over the Jewish people is being interrupted to a certain extent because of their averus and because of what Eliyahu promised. So is it that you still, that maybe the obvious nisim have stopped for the time being, which is like rain, but maybe the concealed nisim are still going on, or maybe not even those? And we're saying that this opinion over here of Rabbi Yaakov, Dvar Chanan, is saying that in the S'chus of Abraham, that second one, the one that's concealed within Teva, will always exist for the descendants of Abraham. So Omer of Yehuda ben Pazi, Bidyatiki Nesativ Avraham Lavia Bamatona Nesativ Loi, I gave it to him as a diatiki. Well, diatiki technically is a word, is a word in Gemara Lashon for will. Some people derive it from a Greek word that means a will, essentially. There's an idea that some Mephoshim bring that it comes from an Aramaic phrase, Da Tehe Lamekam, that this will stand, this will be upheld. But obviously, we're using it in a borrowed sense, in the sense that a diatiki is something it's irrevocable. You have din that a matnas shchivmer is binding no matter what. So therefore, so diatiki is often used for in a looser sense for like an irrevocable gift. And matan and asativ, like I gave it to him as a present. Eitz Yosef says there are two ways of parsing that line in the Gemara. You can say that it's asking, that it's a rhetorical question. You can say that it's both statements, that in other words, it has the strength of a matnas shchivra and the strength of a matnas bori, which you have Gemaras in Bava Basra that discuss that each one has a strength over the other one. The other way of understanding it is it can be a rhetorical question. Did I give it to Hashem as a diatiki, which maybe in some cases can be revoked? No, but matana, nesativlai, I gave it to him as a full-fledged matana, which is irrevocable. As the pasuk says, v'yitn l'cha l'kim t'al shemayim, v'gem Hashem will give you of the dew of the heavens. So v'yitn, meaning that it doesn't even matter what you're doing, regardless, that gift is still there. So the Gemara continues. Amar of Shmuel ben Achmeni, b'shashi Yisroel and bo l'dei averus and ma'isim roim. When the Jewish people come to doing averus and other bad deeds, hagshamim ne'atzarim, then Hashem does stop the rain. V'heim meviim lahem zaken echad. So what do the Jewish people do? They bring out an old Talmud Chacham, kegoin Rabbi Yosi Aglili, an example being Rabbi Yosi Aglili, v'hu mafgia badam. He begs Hashem on their behalf, and then the rain falls. So the rain will depend on people's ma'isim, and you need an exceptional tzaddik like Rabbi Yosi Aglili to bring. Avalatal in the yodim, the schus bria, but the dew doesn't fall in the schus of any human being. Hashem brings that no matter what. Matam, what pasuk teaches us that. Pasuk says, ketal me'es Hashem, like dew from Hashem, kirevivim alei esev, like the showers of rain on the grass. Which doesn't hope for a person, and does not expect for bnei adam, for human beings. So in other words, the point is, obviously, now we know, of course, no human being can bring dew. What it means is, even beruchnius, that people's avoida, is not what brings dew. Dew comes purely milamaila, without our involvement at all. And that's why in Chassidus, we have in many places, you have that dew is a metaphor for Sarusa de la'ela, where it purely comes from Hashem, whereas Geshem, after all, the Eid Yalam in Aretz, it starts with a mist rising up from the ground and forming clouds, so therefore that represents the Avodah, where we start off with the Sarusa de la'sata, and then the Eivishta reciprocates. At the end of the Perek, at the end of the parak, it talks about when a person is davening, I'm a spowl the toss and rally, and that if a person is davening fluently, then it shows a good thing. So in this connection, the Gemara brings Amar Rabbi Yochanan, bris krusahi, we have a covenant that's made with a person. Hayagea limudim bebesakneset. Actually, this is actually it's not really over here. It actually was early. It was actually earlier in the perek after what we had in Osir Aleph, the whole thing about davening and shul, davening and mismedrash. This piece, this next piece over here, is actually a continuation of that. Again, why the mechaber of Ein Yaakov put it out of order? I don't know. Anyway, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, bris krusahi, there's a covenant that's made, hayogea limudim beves hakneses, a person who works hard on his learning in shul, loy b'mehero homoshakeach, will not forget it very quickly. He's learning it in a makom kodesh, and therefore Hashem will help him remember it. Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan from Ansanais, the pastor is the name of a place, says, bris krusahi, when a person works hard on his learning but sina in private, then he doesn't forget it quickly. Now we don't mean be chidus because you have to learn b'chabrusa, but it means in other words this shouldn't be in full view of everybody. The Bavli makes a similar point in some places in Chagiga and in some other places that, for example, you shouldn't be sitting, let's say, at a crossroads, let's say, or like in the city square, and me learning Torah. It's not really an appropriate place for it. It should be in a bit more of a tzniyistic place, like we're saying over here, the Bismarck. So loy b'mehero, hu meshakeach, he won't forget his Torah quickly. Matam, what pasuk tells us that? Ves tznuim chochma. Chochma of Torah will be with tznuim, with the ones who are tzniyistic and in the way that they learn. Amr Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan continues, bris krusa was bris krusa, haloymen hagadim itoicha sefer. If a person learns agadda from a written sefer, loy b'mehero, hu meshakeach, then he won't forget very quickly. Now this one, I mean, in Rabbi Yechanan's times, Torah Shabbat Peh wasn't written yet. So what are you doing learning Haggadah from a Sefer? So one possibility is that in fact that Rabbi Yechanan is arguing with that. According to Rabbi Yechanan, maybe you're ready. There's a heter in his times to write down a Haggadah so it wouldn't be forgotten. With that said, you know, all the things that it brings over here in the Gemara about the Besa Knesses and Bitsina and so forth are all brought Lahalocha, the Rambam brings them all in Hilchos Talmud Torah. He leaves out this one, maybe Taka, because he holds, according to the Bavli, that at the time when Torah Shabbat Peh wasn't supposed to be written down yet, then you Taka not supposed to write down any part of it, including Agadah. Anyway, my timer, so Rabbi Yechanan says, Amud of Tanchuma, Hasover Talmudai, when a person understands his learning and makes sure to understand it thoroughly inside and out, Loibim Hero, Homoshakeach, then he won't forget it very quickly. Oh, my timer, what posit tells us that? Pentishka Chazadgona, Masha Roway Nefa, that you shouldn't forget the things that you saw with your eyes. So Eitz Yosef points out that can actually refer to both of them. It can refer to learning from the Sefer, because then you're seeing the words with your eyes, like Osius Machimus, as they say. And also, when you see it with the mind's eye, and you delved into it and understood it thoroughly. So now the Gemara goes on to talk about various Chachamim who would be so fatifed in their learning that they wouldn't even know what's going on with them. When Rish Lakish was delving into the Torah a great deal, have enough of the bar mitzchum of the Shabbos. Sometimes on Shabbos, he would accidentally walk outside of the tchum, Ruhula Yoda, and even realize it because he was so fatifed in his learning. L'kayim mashanema, this is like what the pasuk says, ba'avosa tishke tomid, you should be tishke in the love of Torah. It actually brings from one of the early medaktikim, I think Menachem, who says that tishke actually comes from an Aramaic word meaning like to go crazy. And the Rambam brings, the idea that, yeah, a person should be, the Rambam compares it to like when a person is in love, like he can't think of anything else except his beloved. That's the way a person should feel towards the Torah. So here we see that Rav Shlokish would be so fartifed in it, he didn't even realize he's walking outside the Torah. Rabbi Yudan, the son of Rabbi Shmuel, would learn Torah very deeply. His cloak, a gulse in particular, is a fancy kind of cloak we find in the Bavli in a couple of places that particularly Tamil Chachamim would wear it. So I guess you could compare it nowadays to like a kapota or something. Anyway, it would fall off. It would fall off him. Saras means like it comes from a word that means like extra large. So like it would be falling off him as if it was like extra large on him. V'chakina mizdahar alei, and then later on, you'd come and find that a snake was guarding it, that a snake was wrapped around it and guarding it so nobody takes it. Amalei tamidav, Rebbe, ho gosach sriya. And his tamidim would tell him, Rebbe, your coat's falling off. Amalem, and he'd tell them, so what's the problem? V'les ahira shiyasa zahirallah. So what? Isn't that Rishas, the snake, guarding it? So I have nothing to worry about. I'll be fartift in Torah, and the Eivishter will send even a rosha, like a snake, to guard it on my behalf. At the end of the parak, it talks about the thing over there that if a person's tefillah flows fluently, then he has more of a good simon that it's accepted. It tells the story of Rav Chanina Mendoza over there, where sometimes his tefillah would know it would flow fluently, and then he says that that's a simon to me from Hashem that my tefillah is accepted, and if not, then not. So in this connection, Amar Rabbi Shurban Levi, im also sif soisim shal adam tnuva, if a person's lips produce fruit, meaning again the same idea, in other words that he feels that it's going fluently, yehei mevusa shenishma tefillasim, and he can take that as that he's been informed min hashemayim shenishma tefillah, say that his tefillah was heard. Matan, what pasuk teaches us that idea? Shenema bode niv svasayim, Hashem creates the speech of the lips, where niv is also maloshen tenuva. So when the lips are producing fruit, in other words, when the tefillah is going fluently, shalom shalom larochet v'lakarev, then there's peace and peace for those who are far away and for those who are near, Amar Hashem, or refasiv, and I will heal him. So in other words, the pasuk is saying that when a person's davening goes fluently, then it shows that Hashem is saying, I will heal him and I will listen to his tefillah. Kate said Mavorchin Perek Shishi, the beginning of the Perek starts talking about the brachas on food. So the Yoshami starts talking about, the Bavli also does over here, the source for the concept of brachas on food at all. So Ksib, the Pasuk says, Lashema or it's Loya Teva V'Yoshveva. The Pasuk says, the whole world and everything that's in it belongs to Hashem. Hanenim, Hanena Klum, and Olam Moal. So if a person has any Hana from the world, and then he's committing me'ilah. It's like he's using something of hekdesh that belongs to Hashem. Ad she'atiru lo ha'mitzvah, until he says the bracha, and then having done the mitzvah with it, then that makes it his. Eitz Yosef points out, we're not just talking about the brachas, we're talking about all the mitzvahs that have to be done with the food for produce from Eretz Yisrael, also trumas and nisus. So now, once you do that, once you've done all the mitzvahs with it, he says, al-derech actually, like you have the concept in halacha, when it comes to things of kodshim, eim l'chadavash nasas mitzvase u'molen boy. The general rule in kodshim is, once you have the mitzvah has been accomplished with the thing, then me'ilah doesn't apply to it. For example, let's say the blood of kodshim, before you sprinkle it on the mizbeach, it's possible to commit me'ilah with it if you use it for your own purposes. Once the mitzvah has been done, if you were to go and scrape that blood off the mizbeach and use it, nothing would happen. And the same thing with many other things. So we see, once all the mitzvahs have done, then it doesn't have din me'ilah in it anymore, therefore you can eat it. Amar Abahu Ksiv. Here's another pasuk that shows the point about you have to say brachas. The pasuk says, "Pen tikta shamaleya hazera asher tizro tvorsa karem." That the pasuk is talking about kilaya kerem. The pasuk is saying that otherwise the fullness of the seed that you planted and the produce of the vineyard will become kodesh. So in context, the pasuk is talking about kilaya kerem, and the word kodesh over there means that it becomes osir. But Rabbi Bohu is darshaning that it means, in other words, that just like the produce of a vineyard is kerem revai during the fourth year, it's fourth year fruit. We had it a few days ago in Masechta and Mishnayos of Ma'aser Sheni, and you have to redeem it before you can eat it. So ha'olam kulo umaloy also kerem. The entire world and everything in it is like a vineyard. Umahu pidyone, and how do you redeem it from Hashem? Bibracha, by saying the bracha, and now you're allowed to eat it. So in other words, it's like kerem revai, and you have to Rav Chizkiya, Rav Yumiya, Rav Avun, b'shem Rav Shimon Lakish. Rav Chizkiya says in the name of Rav Yumiya, in the name of Rav Avun, in turn in the name of Rav Shimon Lakish. A pasuk says in Tehillim, Omart LaHashem, you have said to Hashem, which is, this is David HaMelech speaking to his neshama, or to the Jewish people collectively, you have said to Hashem, Adnai Otto, you are my God. Tovasi Balalecha, my goodness is not on you. Posh, the meaning of the pasuk means, in other words, that it means, in other words, Hashem doesn't owe us any favors. On the contrary, we owe everything to Hashem. But with darshaning, im achalto veirachta, If you ate, and before you ate, you made a bracha on it, kavyachol ki'ilu mishalcha achalta, then it's kavyachol as though you ate your own thing. In other words, tevasi balalecha, then you say, now I don't have to show any further gratitude to Hashem, so to speak, because now at this point, I actually legitimately own the food. This is Avram. Oh, yeah, similar idea, right? Yeah, that's true. To that. Michelle, right. Michelle, that's true. Yeah. So we see also that this word tovasi balalecha implies that you have to make the bracha. In other words, amaut l'Hashem, you say to Hashem, adnayata, by saying the bracha, and then the result of that is tovasi balalecha. Now my goodness is not, so to speak, incumbent on you anymore in the sense that now it belongs to me. Another meaning of the word tovasi balalecha means mevalani tovasi begufcha. This is still Hashem speaking and saying, if you make the bracha, so mark Hashem adnayata, then mevalani tovasi begufcha, then I will tovasi begufcha, I will make my goodness be used up in your body. So Eitz Yosef says it can have two meanings. It can mean, in other words, that you will be able to eat and you'll legitimately be able to eat and you'll use up the food in your body. Or the other explanation is that it means the food will be able to be more completely digested in your body such that there won't be waste from it. Because in other words, the whole thing will be used up in your body and nothing of it will have to go to waste. Another meaning of the word balalecha, yibololu kol atovus, all the goodnesses will be mixed together, v'yavoyu alecha, and they will come upon you who made a bracha. Hakosev and Eitz Yosef both bring over here from Medrash Sheikha Tov, which is the Medrash Antilim, that instead of the word yivolu, has the word yuvolu alecha, they will be brought on you, Moshin yuvol. Omer of Acha, mahu balalecha, means another meaning of it is she'eni mevi tova ala olam mi baladecha. Hashem is saying that I will not bring any good on the world except through you. You who make a bracha, you are the one through whom Hashem is now going to bring bracha to the world. How does balalecha mean that? K'madatama, like you have the word baladecha, uveladecha, la yorim ishes yadiv, where Pare tells Yosef, without your permission, nobody will be able to lift a hand or foot to ride a horse or to use weapons throughout Mitzrayim. So the same way, balalecha means Hashem is saying, like, so to speak, it's up to you now, because you're making the bracha, therefore the goodness to the world is going to come exclusively through you, only exclusively with your reshus. For example, Eitz Yosef says, let's say, for example, when rain is needed, it'll come in your schos. This way, people will realize the greatness of somebody who makes brachas properly. Hakosef points out, according to Rabbi Chizkiya's explanation, it comes out that the pasuk is split up. The first part is David speaking to his neshama, or to the Jewish people, and the rest, according to the first explanation, all of it is him speaking to his neshama, or to the Jewish people, and saying, what's the result of saying a bracha? The other three explanations, we have to split up the pasuk in two. The first part is Amarat Hashem Adnayata, is him speaking to his neshama, or to the Jewish people, and the rest, Tevasi Balalecha, is Hashem responding in one of these three ways that we talk about. The result of you saying Adnayata and making the bracha is these good things that we just talked about. Yom Yom Mashiach Ge'ola, Chavdalad Shvat. The Medrash says that at the time of the Geula, if a person goes over to a fig tree and tries to pick a fig on Shabbos, the fig tree itself will yell out and say, today is Shabbos. Why is that? Because at the time of the Geula, there'll be an utter hisgalus of Elokus. So the entire creation will everywhere there is, you'll feel Hashem's exclusive existence. So the entire world, even the Domim and the Tzemeach, will feel and will experience that there's only Hashem Echad in the world. So why is he thinking in the first place? Pashto said he forgot. So that we're not talking he's doing amazing, we're talking about that he forgot. Okay, I don't know. Maybe he's not sure which side of the dateline he's on. all right. Continuing on halachas of Iker and Tafel. If you mix ground up spices with sugar, then the spices are considered the Iker. So you say on them the appropriate bracha. So certain kinds of spices, for example, that comes from a certain kind of nut, you would say ha'etz, cinnamon, you would say ha'adama, and then ginger would also be ha'adama. Yeah.